Hallelujah. The parable of the sower. Lord, we cannot deny that, Lord, there are seeds that have been placed in our hands. Every life ought to be productive. Every life ought to be fruitful. Your word tells us that the branch that is not fruitful, the husbandman will cut away. And without the vine, the branch will die. That is the lesson that we have learned today. May we never forget.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, help us to be true to you. Help us to be true to your word. In the name of Jesus. Lord, the next few minutes that we will encourage ourselves in your word. Heavenly Father, please minister unto us. Let your word find good grounds to grow in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may please be seated. God bless you. I want you to look at your neighbor and ask that neighbor, say, neighbor, what are you doing with your seed? That talent, that gift, what have you done with it? Or what are you doing with it? Because a day of reckoning is coming. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our time is fast spent, but we're beginning today the sermon series that we have been talking about, parables of the kingdom of heaven. And like I've said, we're going to take our text for the next 8 to 10 weeks from Matthew chapter 13, from verse 1 through 54. Friends, I can tell you that over the past week or so, I've gotten a number of calls that I will refer to as unusual. You know, usually when people call, when they begin to speak, I'm just waiting for them to get to the point. Because usually when they greet and say, how you doing, and all of these things, and then they get to the point. But I've gotten some very different calls the past couple of weeks. Some people have called and they have said, Pastor, thank you for allowing God to use you. Say, the sermon ministered to me. And the question I ask them is, I hope you have made certain decisions. Because when a sermon ministers to you and you make no decision, it's like the sermon never ministered to you. So there are gifts, there are talents that God has given us, and God created us for a purpose. Now somebody say, I am made for a purpose. There's a purpose to our lives. We are not just here hanging out, just to hang out, to live and then die. There is a purpose to our lives. As we study the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, I would like to quickly establish two things before we get started. Number one, there's two things I would like to establish very quickly as we begin to dig into the word in Matthew chapter 13. The first one is the phrase kingdom of heaven. Remember, we're talking about parables of the kingdom of heaven. The phrase kingdom of heaven appears 33 times in the New Testament. And shockingly, all the 33 times, according to the King James Version of the Bible, every single occurrence is in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew records the kingdom of God 5 times. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Commentators have not agreed on those two phrases. Some have said the kingdom of heaven is talking about one thing and the kingdom of God is talking about something else. But I don't want you to argue with anybody about it. I want you to establish everything by the word of God. If you read the references that have been provided for you, I just take a few examples from there and we'll move on because of time. But I have made those so you can go home and study for yourself. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When you read the same account in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Talking about exactly the same thing. The second example there, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 and 10. It says, "Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In Luke chapter 6, verses 20 and 22, the Bible says, "And he lifted up his eyes unto his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And so on and so forth. Friends, according to the Bible, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is one and the same. This is scripture. Because today you have a revelational teaching that discounts the word of God. So the kingdom of heaven, as we begin to refer to it, and we continue to refer to it during this series, is talking about the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. I'm going to move on from there because you have this and you're going to, I trust you're going to study it on your own when you get home. You see, the book of Matthew, the gospel of, according to Matthew, is giving us a narrative about Jesus Christ. So when we start reading from chapter 13, there is something that Matthew has been trying to establish before he got to chapter 13. And there's three things that Matthew, the apostle, has been trying to establish. He's writing to Jewish audience, and what he is attempting to show them by the word is that this Jesus that we are talking about is the Son of God. This Jesus himself is God. He's the Son of God. He is God. And not only that, he's trying to show to them that this Jesus is the King. And this Jesus, thirdly, is the Messiah that they have been waiting for. Can I ask somebody a question here today? How many people here have been disappointed before? You had expectation, but your expectation was never met. Do you know that a number of times that we have been disappointed, it was because the opportunity came and we did not recognize it? They were waiting earnestly for the Messiah, and the Messiah was before them, and they didn't recognize him. They did not know who he was. And instead of accepting the Messiah, they rejected the Messiah. Not only did they reject him, they maligned him. I pray that you will see Jesus for who Jesus is. Because even today, there are many people that only speak about Jesus, they don't live the life of Christ. So when I speak, I talk the talk, but I don't walk the walk. I am not different from the Jews that rejected him and crucified him. As a young believer, one of the lessons that I learned and stuck with me, even though I still made my mistakes, but it lessened my mistakes quite a bit. I learned a lesson that every time I sinned, I was saying the suffering and pain of Jesus Christ on the cross was not enough, that I needed to crucify him again. So every time my life does not line up with Christ, what I'm saying is sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, the beating. You have seen the passion of Christ. The Bible says he had no comeliness of a human being anymore because he was so beaten and battered. He was so messed up with agony that he did not look like man anymore. So every time after I have given my life to Christ, that I take myself and I go back to a life of sin, what I'm saying is the price you paid was not sufficient to salvage my life. But what I'm here to tell us today is that there is no more sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, I believe the 26th verse. He said that there's no more sacrifice that can be made for sin if we willingly go back to sin. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price. Somebody say Jesus paid the price. He paid the price already. He did everything that was necessary to be done. And what I want to do is I want to give us a quick panoramic view from Matthew chapter 1 to the 12th chapter before we begin to look at the parables. Remember, the Apostle Matthew is presenting an image of Jesus to the Jews. The Bible tells us in chapter 1, you see the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the first chapter. What was he trying to do? He was tracing the lineage of Jesus from Abraham through David to say that this Jesus is the coming Messiah that has been prophesied. Because the Jews knew that he will come from the lineage of David. Remember, God made a promise to David. God said to David that his seed will always be on the throne of Israel. So he was presenting him to them, and he showed them from generation through generation how Jesus came to be in chapter 1. In chapter 2, the Bible tells us that we call them three wise men, but the Bible does not tell us whether they were three or four. But the wise men came. And when they came and they appeared before Jesus, when they finally found Jesus, the Bible says, they said they have come to pay obeisance to the king that was born. Why? When Jesus was born, they saw a star from the east. Friends, what I'm saying to you is that this Jesus in whom you have believed, because some people will want to depict Jesus as a good man, a good prophet that lived once upon a time. Jesus is not a prophet that lived once upon a time. Jesus was not a good teacher that lived once upon a time. Jesus was not just a powerful man that existed. This Jesus was the coming Messiah and is the Messiah. This Jesus is the King of Kings that the scriptures have prophesied, and he has come, he has lived, he has died, he has been to the cross, and he has resurrected from the cross, and right now he sits on the right hand of the Father, and everything is made subject to him. That is the Jesus we're talking about. So, Apostle Paul is showing them in sequential order. First, he shows them his lineage. That is of the messianic lineage. Second, the Magi, they came to pay obeisance to him. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. They reverenced him. They said, "We have come." And then the angels proclaimed him. Praise the Lord. And then in the third chapter, when he was baptized, the Bible says, "And the heavens opened. And the Spirit came down in bodily form like a dove and rested upon him. And a voice proclaimed from heaven, 'This is my begotten Son. This is my begotten Son.'" So this Jesus, please get it straight. In fact, I believe it was C.S. Lewis. It was C.S. Lewis that said, "You can call Jesus anything. You can call him a liar. You can call him this. You can call him that. You can call him any name you want to call him, but it will be ludicrous for you to call him a prophet or a good teacher. It will make absolute, because it doesn't fit in that mold." So the first three chapters of the book of Matthew is establishing his messianic lineage and is showing us that this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is to come. And then you continue in chapter 4, he was tested. Satan came and tested him. The Bible says after 40 days, and 40 nights of fasting, the devil personified. Somebody say personified. This is not devil whispering. He came in person. The devil personified came and he conquered the devil. Friends, listen to me. If this Jesus is in your life, you will conquer the enemy. I say you will conquer the enemy. You will conquer every work of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, the Bible says, and sin shall not have dominion over you. You know why? Because you have Jesus. Because you have Jesus. You know, some people cannot understand that you can be a single lady or a single young man, or well, not single, not married yet. Does that sound politically correct? Not married yet. And they look at you and say, you mean you are celibate? How do you do it? Because it doesn't make sense to them. Say, so you can live a life without sex? Say, you must be a super machine. You must be an iron. You must be made of steel. You know why they can't understand it? Because they lack the only power that can give you such strength, which is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus overcame the devil after 40 days of fasting. The Bible says he was a-hungered. That's the King James version of very hungry. In regular English, you would say he was famished. He was a-hungered. And the devil came. He said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. That was the scripture that they quoted in the drama. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, what that means for us today is that we don't live by the conveniences and the comfort of life alone. Many people have compromised their faith in the effort to grab this and to grab that and to gain that and to gain the other one. I told the story before. A few years back, I had taken a certification program kind of similar to what Dr. Oloni was talking to us about today, you know. And the group that we studied together, I was the one teaching everybody. For some reason, I just understood the thing very well. But at the end of the thing, we didn't do any certification exam. We didn't do anything. They said, okay, now you are trained. We're going to package your resume for you. And believe me, we have done it many times. You'll get a good job. And they did. In fact, by the time they were done packaging my resume, I was asking whose resume was this. I said, I have not done that too. I'm not sure is this my resume? They said, yes. And guess what? Within a week, I got a telephone interview. They were asking me the question. I said, I didn't do it. Did I? I didn't do it. There was a fellow brother that we took the class together. He's still doing the thing till today. Call me whatever you want to call me. But friends, there are some things that are more important than money in life. Like the salvation of your soul. Why will you trade your soul for money? They put the thing to... I'm telling you, within 1 week, I got a telephone interview from Chicago. Kraft Food. Nationwide. I said, no, that's not me. That's not. They said, you have 3 years experience. I said, no, I do not. They said, you have done 100 and something hours of such and such. I said, well, maybe practice in class. Praise the Lord. Because I know I have a destiny in life. There is a journey I have embarked upon. There is a place God is taking me, and I'm not going to trade it for pleasure. That was what the devil was selling to Jesus. He said, you see the world, I will give everything to you. Just bow to me. Let's do it secretly. Nobody is seeing you. Just bow, and I'll give it to you. He was offering him shortcuts. Friends, in life will always offer you shortcuts if you don't know where God is taking you. That is why we've been talking about vision. In chapters 5 through 7, he describes Jesus as a king based on his authority. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, Jesus began to proclaim some very powerful things. And the people were just in astonishment. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word blessed there is a very interesting word. To be blessed means to be fortunate. To be blessed means to be happy. To be blessed means to be spiritually prosperous. You are a blessed man. Okay, I'm a blessed man. In the name of Jesus. Praise Jesus. So he began to speak with authority like they have never, ever known it before. And people began to, they began to talk about the this man. Said, where did he get this authority from? How come he speaks so boldly? How come he speaks so confidently? Where does he get this authority from? He began to tell them in Matthew chapter 5, he said, ye have heard it said before, but now I say unto you. Listen to me. If you understand scripture, you will know what he's talking about. Because what he was challenging here is the very rock of the of these people's life and belief. Everything that Moses has told them, he said, you have heard it said before, he that commits adultery, such and so. He said, but I say unto you, a man that looks lustfully at a woman already committed adultery with her. They'll be like, what? What gives you the authority? What gives you the audacity? In Matthew chapter 8, the Bible tells us that he was coming down from the mountain and a leper meets him on the way. He said, Master, if thou will, thou can make me whole. He said, I will, be thou made whole. And the man is cleansed. He said, just go show yourself to the priest and don't go do your cleansing and whatnot. And the man was healed. He spoke with such unbelievable authority. And the people were just, they were amazed. They were in wonder. They were in awe. The Bible talks about the four friends that brought their paralytic friend through the roof. And the Bible says when they let him down into the house through the roof, Jesus said, I have never seen this kind of faith before. And he looked at the man. He said, your sins are forgiven you. They were like, what? Only God can forgive sin. And that was exactly what he was proving to them. He was trying to show them that I am God. They understand, and he knew they understand, that only God can forgive sin. So he looked at the man, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And they're like, this man is lunatic. He's crazy. He's certainly crazy. How can he say the man's sins are forgiven? And he read what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, he said, which one is easier? Your sins are forgiven you, which nobody can see the evidence. If you come and say, your sins are forgiven you, what's the evidence? No evidence. He said, which one is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or pack your load and get up and begin to walk? He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. He said, young man, get up, pack your load and go home. You are made whole. And immediately the man got up and he walked away. Why? Because this Jesus, he's not just a good man. This Jesus, he's the Messiah. This Jesus, he is God. He is God. And I prophesy to you this afternoon, everything that is lame in your life, everything that needs life but is out of life and out of breath, I speak the life of God. I command you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Every business that is moribund, every walk with God that is moribund, I speak the life of God unto you. In the name of Jesus, I say, rise up and begin to walk. In the name of Jesus. What is he proving to them? He's showing them by his words that he has authority to forgive sin. And guess what? Only God can forgive sin. Only God. Only God. I have to wrap up quickly now so we can get to the Thanksgiving. This Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Matthew chapter 9 is where that story of the paralytic man is. Matthew 9, you read from verse 2 and down. The man got up, the Bible says, in verse 7, and he arose and departed to his house. He had to be carried through the roof. Why? Because he was lame. Friends, and I don't know how long, you know, sometimes when a problem or a situation has been long-standing in somebody's life, we get accustomed to problem. How many people know what I'm talking about? You get used to it. You are already familiar with the problem, and you just say, well, maybe this is my lot in life. I come to tell you today that that is not your lot in life. I come to declare to you today that that is not your lot in life. God has a unique, specific plan for your life. Listen to me. We had a testimony on Friday. My mother-in-law calls from Nigeria and was sharing this testimony with us. She said for some reason, she just all of a sudden became very prayerful, extra prayerful. Even though there was no church service, she went to church to pray. Even though nobody was there in church, she went and prayed by herself. And guess what? She got a phone call from America that her grandson had been in coma. And when the boy finally came around, listen to this. What I'm saying to you is that your situation, God will put life in it. Amen. If only you can ask God. Listen to this. This boy comes around from his coma. Guess the story he told. He said, in those 3 days he was in coma, he said he saw himself walking down a very long stretch of road, dark. And he's walking down. All of a sudden, he begins to hear the voice of his grandma calling him. The voice of the grandma is calling him. The voice of the grandma is calling. Let's say his name is James, for privacy. He said, James! 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 He looks back. He couldn't see grandma, but he's hearing grandma's voice. And then he turned around and begins to walk back. The next thing that happens, he wakes up from coma. Friends, I'm not telling you a Bible story. I'm telling you a contemporary story, a story that was told to us on Friday. If you can believe God for it, you can get it. If you can ask, you can get it. The scripture for the month of July in our church is from Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. He said, and the Lord will make bright clouds. God will make bright clouds for you. I said, God will make bright clouds over you in the name of Jesus. And he says, there shall be showers of blessing upon everyone green grass. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34 from verse 26. The Bible says, and there shall be showers of blessing because this is the promise of God. Lift up both hands to heaven and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, upon my life, upon my household, upon my marriage, upon my family, upon my children, in the name of Jesus, there shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be abundant supply in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Say, I am strong. I am strong. In the name of Jesus, I overcome. I overcome all the wiles of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I give you notice today. You have pushed me around long enough. Today the die is cast. The line is drawn. No more. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus. Because a grandmother dared to pray, her grandson came back to life. You see, the thing that the Lord has spoken to me over the past couple of weeks is that we have a problem in the body of Christ today. We don't ask. We talk about problems. We talk about how the problem is affecting us, but we never ask God anything. Say, look, everything is so messed up. The job, the bills, you know, like they were saying in the drama. We talk about the problem, but we never ask God anything. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he said, ask, and it shall be given to you. He said, seek, and you will find. He said, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And in verse 8, he said, for whosoever asketh, receiveth. Everyone that asks, receives. That's what the scripture says. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. It is the promise of God concerning you. Praise the Lord. So Matthew is showing them in a sequential order that this Jesus that I'm telling you about is not just any other Joe around the corner. It's not just another regular prophet around the corner. Because many prophets have come and you have treated them how you lied. But this Jesus, this is the real deal. This is the real McCoy. Do you know many today still don't know that Jesus is the real deal? Many people still have supplements to Jesus. They come to church to get their feel and their high. And then they go look for other things. They say, oh, no. Let's now really talk about it. No. Outside of Christ, there's nothing else to talk about. If Jesus can't do it for me, then you can forget about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's showing them, and he showed them all of these things by his deeds, by his words, by his works. He was proving something to them. But still they did not believe. It seemed like the more miracles he did, the more the accusations that came. The more miracles he did, the more problems they had with him. Friends, if you are a child of God, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The fact that you are accused does not mean you are wrong. I praise the Lord. The Bible says everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good. Guess what they said to him? Crucify him. Maybe you are rejected today. Maybe people are turning you down today. Maybe things are not working out for you today. The Bible says, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus says something. He said, if they did it to me, they will do it to you. Amen? The fact that you are not accepted does not mean there's a problem with you. They didn't accept Jesus. All he did for them was good. All he did fantastic miracles. The dead came to life. The deaf heard. There was one that was possessed with the demon. He had demons inside of him. He was dumb. He was deaf. The devil is wicked. He healed him of everything. The demon was cast out. His tongue was loosed. His ears were opened. And on top of it, they said, crucify him. Friends, don't judge your life based on the testament of others. What they say is important. It might give you clues to where you are going wrong. But what is God saying about you? In spite of everything he did, in fact, he was like he was inviting trouble by the things he did, by the good things he did. And guess what? Because of the hardness of their heart, instead of blessing, he began to proclaim judgment on them. If you open to Matthew chapter 12, as I round up, Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Said, therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Listen to me. Listen close. Please look up. Please look up. If God has not spoken to you, about somebody. Don't say, no, that's not real power. They are using something. If God has not expressly revealed something to you about someone, do not judge how they are doing what they are doing. Because that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. There's a man in Africa that everybody believes this man is not using the power of Jesus. He's using other powers, but God has not revealed it to me. So, if you ask me, all I tell you is, I don't know. Whatever power he's using is between him and God. On the final day of judgment, the judge of all men will judge him. That is, I'm not the judge. He said, don't be the judge of anybody. Amen? Don't be the judge of anybody. Let the one that has called him, let him judge him. Jesus began to proclaim judgment on these people. Listen to me. One of the gravest crimes they committed is in Matthew chapter 9. And what did they say? They said, no, this power is not the power of God. He's casting the demons out by the power of the demons. What were they trying to do? April, what they were doing was simple. They were separating his fruit from him. They recognized the miracles. They saw the blind man blind from birth. They saw him seeing. They recognized the miracle, but they were separating the fruit from him. It is not uncommon that men will try to separate your fruit from you. How many people here, you have helped people accomplish certain things? They needed your help really bad, and you gave it to them. And now that they got what they wanted, what did they say? He didn't really help me. What did you really give me? Just gave me a ride to the bus stop, huh? Big deal. He gave me a ride. So, big deal. What are they doing? They are separating your fruit from you. I prophesy to you today, every work of emptiness in your life, the Lord will destroy in the name of Jesus. Everything and everyone that is trying to empty you of your good works, the Lord will destroy their works. In the mighty name of Jesus. They said, no, what did he do? Which miracles? Which miracles? Forget that side. What's up with that? Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Lift up both hands to heaven. Lift it up. I life for us today is a mark of surrender. There's no big deal to it. It's just a mark of surrender. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today. Lord, remember me today. Remember my fruit. Remember my seed. Remember my harvest. Lord, like you remembered Mordecai, remember me today. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Mordecai did good, but they forgot completely about him until the king could not sleep one night and they opened the book of remembrance. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, may my fruit not be separated from me. In the mighty name of Jesus, may my fruit not be separated from me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Friends, I am done. But before I excuse myself from the podium this afternoon, I want to ask you, what are you doing or what have you done with Jesus? Please, everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to just reflect in your own heart by yourself. Jesus did great works. The Jews denied him. He said, great words. Thy sins be forgiven. Get up and walk. Still, they could not accept him. Friends, what have you done with Jesus? How have you honored him in your life? All he's asking for you is that you give your heart to him. Give him your heart. That's all he's asking. Give me your heart. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not living a life that is totally surrendered to him. Maybe you have given your life to Christ before, but you really know these things, that your life is not truly, fully, totally surrendered to him. You can do that today. Don't be like the Jews. They saw him, but they wanted to separate his fruit from him. I want you to give your life to Jesus today. If you are such a person, just wave, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. You say, I really want to make a proper decision. The right decision. I want to do the right thing today. Anybody? Anybody? Praise Jesus. I want you to pray right now and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you will rekindle your fire. You will rekindle your passion in my life. In the name of Jesus. One thing I ask today, let my walk with you from today be better than anything I may have done in the past. In the name of Jesus, I confess every sin in every way, form, or fashion that I may have denied you by conduct, by speech, in my walk. Lord, forgive me. I repent of all my sins, and I ask for your mercy today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Lord, I ask for a fresh infilling of the power of your Spirit in my heart, in my life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.